You're listening to a sermon by Pastor James Burcham. For more information on the First Baptist Church of Upper Marlboro, visit www.firstbaptistum.com.
Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Mark chapter 9 and from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Mark 9 and Ephesians chapter 6. The greatest sermons on prayer are the sermons we learn by example. The people who generally learn how to pray do not learn it from instructions on how to pray, but generally from listening to others pray. The people who feel a passion for prayer, hi Chris, good to see you. Man, your family is growing. Put a brick on your son's head quickly. He's getting too tall, I think. It's really good to see you. Let's see, where was I? Oh, yes, I remember. The people who learn how to pray effectively are people who learn it from others. So we attended, participated in Mr. Lowry's funeral yesterday, just a few people there down in Southern Virginia, almost North Carolina. And Bill closed out the service yesterday, and I was greatly impressed about something that he said about his father. He said this. He said, during the past months, of course, as he's been taking care of his father, he generally went in at bedtime every night, and especially over the past couple of weeks, his father was so ill, and he would go over. His father lived in an apartment adjoining his house, so there was, you can just go through a door from Bill's kitchen into the area where his dad lived in a little apartment. So he would put his dad to bed, and his dad didn't like to leave all the lights off. And so Bill would leave the bathroom light on there in his dad's little apartment and close his dad's bedroom door, and then Bill would go over to his house. But he said over the past several weeks, he would close the door and he would just linger for a while and listen to his dad praying. And he said as he heard his dad praying, he said his dad would cry out for mercy to God and thank God for saving him and thank God for heaven. That's the greatest lesson anyone could ever learn about prayer. It's just listening to somebody else pray. I've read several books about prayer, and I've read the scriptures. Not all of what the Scriptures has to say about prayer, but a lot of what the Scriptures have to say about prayer. But nothing ever meant more to me about prayer than listening to my father pray for me when my father didn't know I was listening. This Saturday, we will have an all-day prayer. Well, 6:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night. Dawn to dusk. And several of you have signed up to be here to pray Saturday, and I'm sure more of you will sign up today. I think that almost every slot is filled. However, there are two or three or four lines on each time slot, and we'll be glad to add your names. Jay will write them on the table or wherever he's got to write them, but we'll add your names. And you're scheduled to be here, and here's what will happen on Saturday. There'll be someone, when you come to the side door over by the offices, and there'll be someone there to meet you at that door. That door will be manned all day. And then when they greet you at the door, they will have a piece of paper. And that piece of paper will be a prayer guide for Saturday. Now you can follow it or you can not follow it. That's not the significant thing. But you'll just bring the prayer guide with you, and you'll come into the sanctuary. And those who come to pray, I would ask that you come around the front. You don't have to necessarily kneel here at the altar, but you can come and sit in these front chairs as you come in to pray. And you don't have to sign up to come to prayer. You can come whenever you want to during the day. If you didn't sign up, you can come anyhow. That doesn't matter. But you know, I want you to come, and I want you to pray here. Now, when you come to pray, you can come and pray silently. If you want to come and pray silently for a half hour or an hour, you can do that. You don't have to pray out loud. And if you want to come and pray out loud, you can do that. And if you want to come and pray out loud and walk around back here and pray out loud, you can do that. If you want to walk around over here and pray out loud, you can do that. And if you want to sit back in the corner and pray out loud, you can do that. If two or three people want to pray out loud, you can do that. Or you can come and pray silently. And you can pray about whatever God lays on your heart. We're going to have some suggestions for you about things that we feel a special burden about right now. But really, you can pray about anything that's on your heart. It's just important that we join our hearts together in prayer this Saturday. I'm not so concerned about the mode or the manner or even the method, but I'm just more concerned that we come and do it. And so don't feel tense about having to do something a certain way. Nobody's going to call on you to pray and make you stand up and pray in front of everybody else. That's not going to happen. And there's not going to be a leader here. We're just going to pray all day. All right? Any questions? This is complicated, isn't it? No, it's all right. So, 6:30 Saturday morning. Is that right, Jay? Till 6:30 Saturday night. And there'll be someone here all day, so you can feel secure to come. The building will be the door will be manned by someone down there, and they'll give you a piece of paper, and you'll come in. And if you want to come and spend the whole day praying, that would be fine. And if you want to fast on Friday in preparation for Saturday, I think that would be great. If you want to spend some time fasting so that you can concentrate your heart and your spirit upon what God has for you, you can do that too. All right? All right, good. So don't forget that. Now, let's talk about prayer today. I realized coming home in the van yesterday from Virginia that really prayer is, in Ephesians chapter 6 at least, really not so much a weapon as it is a way to put the armament on and the way to handle the weapon. So that when you handle the Word of God, you handle the Word of God with prayer. And when you put the armor of the Lord on, you put the armor on with prayer. So prayer is a kind of context for dealing with the devil, with the demonic, and frankly, with everyday life. It's a kind of context for this battle that we are in. Let's look at Mark chapter 9, and you know this is where we've been for the past several weeks. We'll leave that this coming Sunday, the Lord willing. But let's just begin. Oh, let's see. Verse 24. Immediately, 9:24 of Mark. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Only by prayer. Lord, it is my prayer today that you would speak to us this morning as we look into the Word and as we listen. I pray that our minds and our hearts, our emotions and our wills will be engaged with what you want us to learn this morning. We do need you. And I think about those precious souls in Haiti, and I am so grateful, Lord, for the way you have moved upon the hearts of the people of the world. For you can use believers and unbelievers alike to accomplish your purposes. And you have moved upon people to give, maybe as never before in the history of the world. People have been involved in giving. And I give you praise, Lord, for you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And I thank you, our Father, for the many organizations who are going to Haiti. And I pray for our Southern Baptist team as they begin to survey the needs and think about how we can be a presence there for a long time. How I pray for comfort for the brokenhearted, for mercy for those who have suffered so greatly, for mercy for those who have lost limbs and loved ones, and whose lives have been dramatically changed for all of human time. Father, I pray that you would watch over them and that you would guard those who care for them. And I am so grateful for our military and for a very rapid response to get there and to serve. And I pray for our military personnel that you will keep them safe, that you will give them wisdom, our Father, that they might know exactly how to minister and give them strength and protect them, our Father, and give them a heart to serve so that they will not become embittered or distraught or discouraged by the terrible situation that they view every day, but give them a tender heart toward human beings. And then our Father calls us to give in our church. Move upon us, O Lord. And Father, I pray for our day of prayer this coming Saturday. I ask that everyone in this room will feel a burden to come. And I ask that they will come. And I ask that we will pray. And I ask that you will change my heart. That you will make me more aware of you as I pray. That you will make me more aware of the gospel as I pray. That you will strengthen my feeble heart as I pray. That you will work on my attitude as I pray. That grace will fill my heart as I pray. So that I might see afresh those who are in this world and around me and in my neighborhood and my sphere of influence who do not know Christ. That you will open up my eyes to the gospel more than ever. Father, I thank you that you are a saving, cleansing, sanctifying, redeeming, and justifying God, and that you never give up on us. Thank you that you are persistent. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times when we have been selfish in our praying. And cleanse our hearts, O Lord, to be obedient to you. This is my prayer. In the strong name of Christ, amen. Well, a lot of things have been written about prayer. There's a lot of great books about prayer. I've talked to some people recently who are reading books about prayer, and I encourage that. A very fine book that I read many years ago was a book by a great liberal, Harry Emerson Fosdick. And it helped me to understand the principle of breathing. Not that I practice it, this breathing in prayer, But to understand the principle of praying out my sin to God and my distrust and my rebellion to God, and praying in all of His freshness for my spirit into my heart. I've mentioned to you before that at one time I think it was the previous Catholic Pope was here on a trip, pilgrimage, I guess you would call it, to our country, and he was speaking at the National Cathedral, and I was watching it, and one of his a cardinal or somebody who was his assistant who traveled with him all the time and sort of took care of things, made arrangements, logistical arrangements and things like that, was commentating on the visit. And I just noticed that as the Pope began to leave the area of the pulpit and the altar area, that halfway out he just simply stopped, got on his knees right there, and obviously was praying. And it just happened that the camera caught him. He wasn't praying for the camera's benefit. He was just simply praying there. And the news reporter said to this cardinal, said, "Why in the world is the Pope doing that?" And the cardinal just frankly and freely said, just as a matter of routine, he said, "Well, he gets tired, he gets exhausted, he gets spiritually tired. And when he does, he just stops wherever he is and prays." We can learn a lot from that. An immense amount from that. I do want you to know that we learn more from the prayer life of our Lord than we learn from His instructions about prayer. For I think we learn more from listening and seeing others in prayer than we learn from words about prayer. Well, last week we talked about the spiritual armor. Didn't Paul do a great job? I say, didn't Paul do a great job? Yeah, that's good. Well, when you see him this morning, tell him that he did a great job. I'm just trying to make up for hitting him with that stick. So when you see Paul today, thank him for doing that last week, because I thought it was really nice. And we talked about the spiritual armor of the Christian. There's an old song that says, I believe it's Stand Up for Jesus. It talks about the armor of the Lord, and it says, "Each piece put on with prayer, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed." So prayer is the context for putting this armament on and standing in prayer. I want you to understand that much is learned from Christ and much is learned from Paul about prayer. Turn with me to Ephesians 6:18. Now remember the context of all that we've been talking about these weeks about spiritual warfare is the context of the apostles not being totally unable to cast out this demon from this young boy. And Christ saying to them, this kind comes out only by prayer. And so here in Ephesians 6, after Paul describes for us the armament of the Christian, he says in Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Now, there's a little word there that's repeated quite often that must certainly be significant. All occasions, all kinds of prayer, always on the alert, all the saints. Paul repeats that for a purpose, and it helps us to understand that we are to pray in the Spirit on every occasions, all kinds of prayer. Prayers of petition, prayers of supplication, prayers of intercession, prayers of praise, prayers of adoration, prayers of confession. All of these prayers are to come from our lips on all occasions and always to keep on praying. And then he says in verse 19, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for I am an ambassador in chains. You know that Paul was in prison, and he writes, and he says, pray all the time, pray on every occasion, pray about everything, and by the way, pray for me. And he says, pray for me that when I open my mouth, God may help me declare the mystery of the gospel. Because this is the most important thing. And he says in verse 20, I, for which the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. All kinds of prayer, all occasions, always on the alert. Keep on praying. Now, in spite of these instructions, I still believe that people learn the most about prayer from being around someone who's praying. I think these instructions are so vitally important. But I think we need to ask ourselves the question, why did Jesus pray? Since Jesus reveals where the power is in spiritual warfare, it is essential that we see his heart concerning prayer. I knew my dad's heart concerning prayer. I knew that when I came down as a child, when I was living in his home till I was 19, and I left that home and got married quickly so that Roseanne would take care of me. That's serious. That's not funny. Well, sort of serious. But all of those years, when I came down the stairs, at the bottom of the stairs, on the left-hand side of the stairway was the door to my dad's study. And unlike me, because I come to the church and you provide a beautiful place for me to study here, and I'm so grateful for it. It's a lovely room. Once in a while it's invaded by the staff, but otherwise it's a great room. And it's a great place to study. My dad didn't have that. He had a study at his home, and every morning when I came down, Tom, to the bottom of those stairs, that door was shut. And when that door was shut, I knew what that meant. It meant I wasn't to disturb him. And he was in there praying, and he was in there studying. And I heard my dad pray in public, and late in his life when he lived next door to me, and our house was connected by one single door, and it was a very thin door. I came often in the mornings out of my house, leaving into the backyard where the car was, and I would stand at the door and listen to my dad pray for me. And that's where I learned the most about prayer. And parents, that's where your kids are going to learn it or not learn it. They won't learn it just from the Bible. They'll learn it from you. Now, I don't want to throw a guilt trip on you. That's not the purpose of why I'm telling you that. My purpose is to encourage you to pray with your children. My purpose is to encourage you to pray in front of your children. My encouragement to you is to get on your knees and pour out your hearts in front of your children. I'm sort of departing from my notes. Is that okay for a minute? Thanks. I'm going to do it whether you want me to or not. When I was growing up, we did have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night at our church. And part of the year, I would be in Royal Ambassadors, which was a mission organization for boys. And part of the year, I would be in prayer meeting. But I was in prayer meeting more than I was in Royal Ambassadors, because Royal Ambassadors never was consistent. It never kept going. It was like the wind, Rick. Sometimes it would blow and sometimes it wouldn't blow. But what was consistent, every Wednesday night, I was praying. And I can tell you who I heard. I heard A.P. Waddell pray. I heard Avery Holbrook get on his knees. I saw him get on his knees and pray. I don't remember. I called him Old Man Perry. I don't remember what his first name was. But I can remember Mr. Perry getting on his knees between the pews and praying. I can hear my best man's mother, Mary Ellen Clark, praying. All I have to do is stop and listen, and I can hear her praying in my ears. I learned more about prayer, Bobby, from listening to those adults pray. And my dad would take me to adult prayer meetings in homes. And sometimes I would be the only kid there. And I am so glad that he made me go. I am so glad he drug me to those meetings. When sometimes I'd have rather been doing something really important, like watching a Western on television. But he drug me and said, Jim, why don't you just go? And I listened to those adults praying. I want you to know that when the apostles said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, it was because they heard him praying. They learned more from his example than they learned from his words. So, this Saturday, I beg you to bring your family to pray. If your kids don't want to come, drag them. And then when you come, pray. You say, Pastor, we got something else going on that's real important. All right? What do you want your kid to do? What's important or what's vital? You say, Pastor, you're getting on me. You're right. Because I really believe what I'm telling you this morning, I really believe that they're going to learn more from hearing you than they will from your instructions or mine, especially mine. They're going to learn more from your instructions than they learn from my instructions. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So I ask you the question, why did Jesus pray? This is an important question. He is the Lord of the universe, the co-creator of the world and all that's in the world. He is the one who is with the Father and the Spirit for all eternity. He, in the mystery of the Trinity, has reigned in heaven forever and ever. And now the Son of God is on the earth and has emptied himself, taken upon himself upon the form of a man, subjected himself to human limitations, subjected himself to human humiliation, and he has come to live in a perfect human body and to die and pay the price for the sin of the world and to become a priest for all of us and suffer temptations as we do and yet do all of that, Hebrews says, without sin. That's astounding. That he would do all of that without sin. Why did Jesus pray? Because in his humanity, he faced everything that you and I have to face, and yet without sin. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit. In his human person, he had to stay spiritually connected and directed by the Heavenly Father. He prayed in order that he might obtain wisdom and guidance. He prayed to have focus. He has a lot to do. He must take time to pray. When you look at his schedule and you look at the demands upon his life, you realize that Christ had to constantly keep in front of him his priorities. How did he do that? He prayed. Now, I know that prayer can do a lot to change the world, and we need to pray for people in Haiti, and we need to pray for our missionaries, and you need to pray for me. But I want to tell you that the most important practice of prayer, the most important thing accomplished in the practice of prayer is to change you. It's not so much about changing heaven as it is changing you. It's not so much about bringing God's will around to yours. It's about changing your will. It's about changing your focus. It's about changing your heart. Prayer is going to change you more than it changes anything else. Why did Jesus pray?
because he needed to focus. He had this ministry to the hurting and the conflict with the evil one and training of the 12, and the hours of service for Christ were not always convenient. It certainly wasn't in any stretch of the imagination a walk in the park. And so he prayed for strength for himself, because distractions and stresses are inevitable and interruptions always happen. And enthusiasm is not to be confused with faith. Jesus said, people will mistreat you and persecute you and say all manner of evil and gossip about you and misunderstand you, and your family may reject you, and some in time will even try to kill you. And in that context, since Jesus had gone through all of that himself, Jesus gave the example of praying. Perhaps one reason we feel so spiritually impotent is because we're depending upon human reason, and Jesus depended on prayer. Jesus needed strength. Matthew says, going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." The cry of the heart to the Heavenly Father. If you plan to live a godly life, you must pray. Our resources are not inexhaustible. If Christ had to pray, certainly we realize that our strength is not inexhaustible. Certainly we must realize if Christ needed focus before he called the 12 apostles and before he sent them out, certainly we need help with our focus about our families and about our lives. Certainly if Christ needed this, we need it all the more. Christ prayed for himself. He prayed for children. He prayed before major decisions. He prayed for those who mistreated him and persecuted him. He prayed for his apostles. He prayed. The greatest argument for prayer is the example of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest argument for prayer. It's better than any book on prayer. It's better than any discussion on prayer. It's better than any human reasoning on prayer. The best argument for prayer in the world is the example of the Son of God. He is our Savior, and he is our example. What does he specifically instruct us to pray for? Mickey, I think you had the right context, but just a little bit the wrong word. Mickey's in a competition with his children about who can fill in the blanks before the sermon, and so far the kids are winning. So, what does Jesus instruct us to pray for? Pray for our enemies. Pray for unity. Pray for strength and temptation. But one specific one that I want to give to you is in Matthew 26:41, where Jesus said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." There's temptations all around you, my friend. We've been talking about that for weeks. I hope you've got that. They're everywhere. And they're constant. The devil is not going to let you alone. The demonic is not going to let you alone. However, will not possess you, cannot have you, and you do not need to fear it. But what you do need to do is watch. Big difference. You don't need to fear it, but you need to watch. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptations. The synoptic account in Luke 22 says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives and his disciples followed him. Did you catch that? Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives and his disciples followed him. Did you catch that? He went out as usual. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." pray that you will not fall into temptation. And he withdrew a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. And he was in anguish. And Luke records, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling upon the ground. And he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? And he said again, get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation. He tells them, he goes and prays, he comes back, tells them again. Why? Because instead of watching him and watching in prayer, they were sleeping. They weren't watching. We are lulled into a sense of security sometimes while the battle is being lost. We're lulled into a sense of security when the battle is sometimes being lost in our homes and in our church and certainly in our country. And we're lulled into a sense of security where we are not watching, where our eyes are not open. Don't be overconfident. As you watch, don't be overconfident. Your confidence must not be in you. You are a mere, fallible, sinful, depraved human being saved by the grace of God and kept by His power. Don't get overconfident. What's wrong with these apostles? They're overconfident. Why, they're going to be arguing soon, who is the greatest? Am I the best? Am I the chief? Are you better? You better prayer than I am? They weren't watching. They weren't alert. Remember that you're not alone in this matter of watching. We watch together. The disciples had one another and they had the Lord. They had the strength of being together. Don't be overconfident. Remember that we are together. Remember that God is faithful. Remember that God will make a way out of temptation. Remember this. And remember these challenges concerning prayer. The challenges. And here they are. Jesus didn't give a lot of these. But I want to give two. Two challenges. The first challenge is, attitude is essential. Attitude is essential. The Gospel of Matthew and the sixth chapter. Jesus says this, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, don't keep babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil men. Warning. Challenge. Attitude is essential. Pride and hypocrisy will diminish prayer. Two, not only is attitude essential, but persistence is required. Persistence is required. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable, Luke writes, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. This is one of my problems. One of my problems, it's just one of them. I'm not going to tell you any more. This is just one. But one of my problems is I talk to God about something for a few days, and if it doesn't happen, I just drop it off. My prayer. And I'm telling you, Jesus didn't do that. Persistence. 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 Keeping on. Keeping on. We cannot give up. We have to keep, just like a ticking clock. We have to just keep praying.
You want your children saved? Keep praying. You want them protected? Keep praying. Pray for them every day like my dad did for me. Dear God, I can hear it in my ears. Give Jim strength today as he pastors our church. Help him to live a godly life. I can hear it in my ears. I can hear the prayers of Mrs. Clark praying for our church, of A.P. Waddell, who brought his family from the hills of West Virginia to the northeast corner of Maryland in a covered wagon. I can hear A.P. Waddell praying in my ears. I can hear Avery Holbrook praying in my ears. A farmer, big tough hands, praying. I can hear Mr. Perry praying. And I see him getting on his knees between the pews of our church. I'm telling you, listen, friends, we got to keep on. Larry, we got to keep on. We got to keep on. We got to keep on. We can't give up. We can't give in. We can't stand on our own. We can't stand on our own strength. We can't withstand temptation on our own strength. We've got to keep crying out to God for our nation, for our families, but most importantly, pray remembering that prayer will change each of our hearts. Well, lastly, well, we're in good time today. Thank you, Lord, for extra mercy. How can we apply these truths? Well, there's a million ways. One way I want you to do it is, we love this word, discipline. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry I had to mention that word. I don't know, maybe it's discipline with a small d, I don't know. But here it is. Time, place, and plan. That's how you can apply it. Today, decide time, place, and plan. I tell you one thing right now. I know you don't do this, but when you eat in your home, you pray first. And if you don't, God's going to give you indigestion and an ulcer. I'm just teasing about that. But that's one place to begin, and I know that you do that already. And so, determine, first thing in the morning, you're going to have a place for a time for prayer. Now, I know you're thinking right now, I'm going to pray while I'm driving up Route 4. Friend, you're going to be dead. The only prayer you pray on Route 4 in the mornings is to cry out to God for mercy. Right? How many of you travel Route 4 in the mornings? Am I right or what? Huh? Sure. No, I'm talking about a dedicated time for prayer and a plan for prayer and a place for prayer. I get a place. That's one thing you can do. That's one. Where is your place where you pray? For you parents, it'll have to be behind a locked door somewhere where your kids can't get to you. It's got to be a place. And then make a prayer journal. It doesn't have to be complicated, but just sort of keep a record every day. Write down what you're praying for. It's so good to go back and see where God answered your prayers in very specific ways. And it helps to remind you that we need to keep praying about those things and not give up, see? So even write down your prayers. I know this sounds very liturgical and just scares you to death, but write down your prayers. Write them down. The whole prayer. As a matter of fact, if you have difficulty focusing, Saturday when you come to the day of prayer, bring a tablet with you and just write out all your prayers. There's nothing wrong with that. Is there? Oh, okay, two people shook their head, thanks. Prayer requires tenacity, perseverance, and watchfulness. So develop a plan to keep you encouraged. Maybe that means accountability for you. Maybe it means that somebody in your life group is your accountability partner and they ask you every week, how's your prayer life going? Maybe it's somebody in your Sunday school class. And don't ask your wife to do that because it could lead to a divorce. So ask somebody
to be help you be accountable and help encourage you. How's your prayer life going? How are things going? Tell me what God's saying to you. What are you saying to God? I mean, develop some kind of accountability, not just for somebody to hammer you, but for somebody to encourage you. It's not so much meant to be a kind of pressing thing as it is an uplifting thing. Okay? I guess the biggest application I want to make is do it. Just do it. And if you fail Monday, don't give up Tuesday. You remember one of the illustrations from Call to Joy about these disciplines, spiritual disciplines, and that is, if you miss a day eating, do you get depressed the next day and just say, well, I missed eating on Monday, so I'm not going to eat Tuesday either? No way. I know what you guys are like. If you miss Monday, you make up for it on Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Don't you? Do I hear a witness? All right. Same way with prayer. I think it's a devil tool and a human flesh kind of thing going on that we get discouraged when we miss a day and we just sort of cave in, you know? Don't do that. Be persistent until you're consistent. If our strength is in the Father, by all means, do the most important thing. And that's prayer. If your strength is in God, pray. If you think that your strength is in your ability, then just keep going on like you are, trying to figure it out, trying to reason it out, and stand tall in your own strength, and you will fall square on your keister eventually. If you believe your strength is in God, do the most important thing, and that's pray. Now, I've tried to do this morning not to hammer you, but to encourage you. I want to admit to you right off the cuff that I fail at this. And I want to confess to you right away that God is enabling me to change.